I don't like, I get what he's trying to say, but I agree with you. The like, I've always really liked you. It just feels like a lot to say in the beginning.
Yeah.
That if you're just like, hey, like, I've had a great time, XYZ, I'm interested in you. Like, I'd love to get a drink sometime. Or like, I don't know, I guess use the D word and like go on a date. I feel like that.
Yeah, I feel like if you say like it's a date in there somewhere,
yeah,
that makes it like I'm not trying to hook up with you. Or option B, go get a drink with him Friday and don't fuck him. like that's so easy. Like,
yeah.
Everybody, welcome back to Shooters Gotta Shoot. I am your co-host Erica Spira,
and I'm Molly DeMillier,
and today we are talking about one of the chapters from a book recommended by our fans called Make Your Move by John Berger.
Isn't John Berger the name of the guy in Sex and the City?
Oh, I don't think his first name is John, but it's Berger.
Okay,
like B-U-R. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I think it might be a J name though.
It may be.
I don't know.
I'm blanking.
I was like, oh, what a pen name,
right? So the chapter we're going to be talking about from his book is called The Make Your Move Offline Dating Challenge. So basically real life dating challenge.
Okay. I like it. I don't know about you, but I haven't even had time to be on the apps lately.
I haven't had much time either. No.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It's very, very tough. So I'm liking some of these like real life tips out in the wild. We're busy. We're out there. Let's put them to use.
Oh yeah. I agree. It kind of... How I interpreted this chapter when I first read it was, oh, this is like build an in real life roster. Like, yeah. We always talk about building a roster of like, oh, as you hook up with people, keeping them around. But no one ever talks about like, hey, build a potential roster to date.
Yeah, it's not really like a roster. It's almost like a wish list.
Yeah.
Because he wants you to rank them. Yeah. It does feel like a little gross, but you should have a priority of people. You should know the amount that you like somebody versus someone else. Because I think that's how you assess a decision.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think it's fun.
Yeah.
I think it's a fun challenge. Do you think you're going to do this challenge?
I might. I think I naturally do the ranking like a little bit.
Yeah.
I think everybody does. But yeah, I might give it a try.
Yeah, I might try it.
Yeah.
Why not? I think I won't delete the apps, as he says in the very beginning.
Yeah.
Because just already I'm not on them too much.
Right.
But I think just making this list of people you potentially know or kind of know, I think could help.
Yeah, I think so too. And he gives some good tips on how to do it that we'll talk about it more as we get into the chapter. But I think... it honestly will spark people that you just wouldn't even have thought of and be like, oh my God, he's a great dude.
Yeah, I do. I do something similar to when I try to write new comedy jokes. I have this notebook and I call it an ideas notebook.
Okay.
And I'll just sit and start to think of just like, what are things that have happened to me or like things I've been a part of or places I've been like, and you just get your mind in this area of remembering. And then all of a sudden you're like frantically writing things.
Right.
Like you just get on a roll and you're like, oh my God, and I forgot about this and I forgot about that. and right there, I feel like it's the same for people.
Okay.
Of like, you could suddenly get on that roll of like, if you start just going through certain parts of your life, like think like just, but if you don't even start with like work and you're like, okay, every place I've worked, let me just write down every person I've worked with.
Well, because it's also like, what is it? Like the certain degrees of separation?
Yeah, it's like 7 degrees of separation.
Yeah.
Six degrees. I don't know.
It's
six or seven. I'm in the ballpark.
6.5, you know. But it's like you and basically like everybody else, there's only like a little bit of separation between you. It's basically like the theory. So it's like 100%. If you think about like all the people that you work with and then their network. So it's like, it doesn't even necessarily have to be someone in your office.
Exactly.
You know, it can be friend of a friend kind of thing.
Yeah. It's like you're making your own, like, is that called like a spider web you did like in school?
Yeah.
Right? Where each thing just branches off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or it's like a family tree. It's just a tree of dicks, you know?
Just shooting off like sperm on every side.
Yeah. You're like, where are all the dicks I know and how are they connected?
And how can I get to them?
Yeah. I don't think it's bad. That sounds like a great map.
That's definitely what you're gonna draw. I know I'm gonna find it in the kitchen.
I'm a visual learner, so handwriting this type of list or tree would probably work really well for me. And that psychic that I think was a crock of shit still would agree with me. She was all for things being written on paper and then sleeping under your pillow. I'm gonna sleep with my tree of dicks under my pillow. How about that? I'm gonna manifest one of them. I'll get one.
Yeah, you're about to get one. Just fill up the whole tree.
It's all right. Yeah. I'll figure it out. Anyway, you asked me an interesting hypothetical today.
Yes. A little would you rather.
Okay.
Okay. So I'll ask you again. Would you rather have gotten married at young, let's say 25.
Okay.
Have kids right away at really young, and you raise them, and say at 65, so after 40 years of marriage, all your kids are out of the house, you and your husband divorce. He leaves you.
Okay.
Or would you rather not get married until 40, still have kids, but you remain married until you die at like 85, 90?
All right. Well, you thought of this question. Do you have your answer prepped?
I would rather be single until 40 and have my person until I die. Because I just think I don't know that I'm someone who could like recover from the emotional wreckage of a divorce. Like I've had bad breakups and I'm like, damn.
I mean, anyone that gets divorced, immediately their first thing is usually like, oh, if I knew it was going to be this hard, I maybe would have tried harder.
Right.
To stay together with that person.
Yeah. And it also, an important caveat of the question is, you get left. Like, you're not the one doing the leaving.
I was going to say, like, well, the minute you were like, they leave you, I was like, fuck that guy. Fuck that option. Like, if you just left it vague of you get divorced, I'd be curious if that would change anyone's answers.
I think it would, because, like, I think it would feel different when you're in control.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if you don't want the divorce, like, if you get left, you kind of assume that, like, you didn't want that.
Mm.
And then you got to get back out there. After your hip surgery.
Okay.
The other thing...
Wait, and kind of, I have a small question of the hypothetical.
Yep.
When you say single to 40, do you mean like you don't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend that whole time?
No, you can.
Okay, all right. It's just not your person.
Right.
Oh, yeah, then I definitely
we're not
pick...
doing like 10 years of dating and then all of a sudden you get engaged. None of that bullshit. But like let's say you meet your person around 40. Okay.
All right. So it's like there's an opportunity that between you could have someone you think is your person and you still get your heart broken.
Yeah. You get some flames. All right. You get your teeth kicked in.
Yeah.
You know.
Then I pick 40 though.
Okay.
Because I feel like that would just be rough of, I mean, I've gone through that streak before of like 10 years being like, I haven't even really dated anybody.
Yeah.
And it starts to get to you.
Yeah. It's.
Because what's nice about this is I go, oh, I find someone. Like, there's just relief in going, oh, so it happens. Like, that's all I want to know. Oh, it's going to happen. All right, right. It happens at 40. Who cares?
Well, I mean, you don't know the whole time it's going to happen.
But in the scenario, I'm like, wait, either way, I get a husband? Pretty good odds. Like, it's, you know what I mean? It's like, wow, this is really thinking in positivity. Yeah. Just like, you get one.
I also think that now we're both basically 30 and single, right? So it's like, I think that the people who I dated in my early 20s, early and like mid 20s, I was such a different person when I was dating them that I think if I had like stopped the train there and gotten off and married those people, I today would be a very different person. I would not be living the life that I'm living.
Right.
But as like I have changed so much in that time that like I would be a totally, totally different person. And I don't think I would be happy with like the life that a 25-year-old married Molly would live. I think I would look back with a lot of regret.
Yeah.
But then also in this scenario of like being the person that gets left, it's like then you have regret on top of being alone.
See, but that's what's hard is like, because if you were to ask me right now, like there's no way for me to know right now if I will get married and definitely meet someone and by what time, right? There's no way to know. Right. So like right now, me and my dating life, the fear is more getting to age, say 40, like this scenario, and still not have met anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And just being like, at that age, then you look back and you think, oh, should I have prioritized dating more? Should I have tried yeah. more to meet someone and made that more of a priority over like my career? Whereas mm-hmm. like when you look at like a 25, you're like, oh man, if I was 25 and got married and da da da, it's like, yeah, where we're sitting right now because like we like where our lives are at.
Yeah.
So it's like, it would be, I mean, I understand the hypothetical is like different than what I just brought up, but it's like, that is the unknown for me right now. It's like, yeah, you never know what you're going to look back in life on and go, ah, I should have like stopped doing that at that point, or I should have tried harder for this, or I should have, you know, put more focus in that area.
I think you're inevitably going to have regrets about something if you right. really look back and like put everything under a microscope. So I think that's really hard to avoid. So I think the challenge is really to look forward and be like, okay, at this point in my life, what do I want most, or what am I going to want most, and how do I put myself on a path to get there?
Right.
Because we are at the age where you have to start kind of setting up those tracks a little bit. Mm. Because I have no idea how I got to be 30.
You're not even all there yet. And you're tweaking.
I feel it.
Those are my whole 29 year.
Yeah. I have like, what, 48 weeks left?
Can I ask you this question?
What?
All right. Let's change your hypothetical just a little.
Okay.
25 and you're divorced by 65. You have kids.
Yeah.
Your other half, 40, you meet your person. Mm-hmm. You don't have kids. But you're with them the rest of your life. Which one do you choose?
Ooh, that's tough. That's a tricky one.
I think a lot of women would still pick the 25 scenario. Because if you really want kids.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I think I'm at that point. I think I might pick 25.
I honestly don't know which one I would pick, because it's like, kids feel very up in the air for me just as it is. Right.
Really? I thought you wanted kids.
I would like to have them if I can afford to have them. And I find someone by a certain time in life. But that's why. It's like, I kind of have my own personal timeline of like, once I hit a certain age, if it's not happening anytime close to that age, I think I'll be like, it's not, like, I'll miss the boat.
Yeah. And we disagree a bit on what that age is. Because to me, 40 isn't too old.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily too old. I mean, me having them physically myself.
Right. And same.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And because I, like, genetically, I know I don't anticipate that actually, like, being tough. Because both yeah. sides of my family had kids at 40.
Right.
That like I don't have 100% way of knowing, but like also I'm not opposed to adoption. So for me, like, and being in a house with older parents, like to me, it like kids at 40 just doesn't seem like out of the question.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's absolutely crazy. I think it's just a personal preference.
Right.
Of like, I don't know.
Right. But like, that's why I think we are different yeah. on this answer. It's because I think we approach that age differently. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or it's like, I don't know, I'd have to really sit and think about it. If the kids, it was like kids are, you had to get married younger. And if you pick the older option and you're together forever, but no children. It's very interesting.
Yeah. Because I'm like, what do you talk about? Like, at that point, I'm like, I don't know if I want 50 years of conversation. We got to spice it up a little bit. Do we get dogs?
So I would bet you would get several dogs.
I think we need something. A damn zoo if we're going to fill 50 years of conversation.
Something.
Without a kid.
That's almost as like the Catholicism coming out in both of us of like, wait, we get married and we don't have children. What was the point? What's the point of this whole fucking thing?
Yeah, right?
Because like, you could also look at it like this, right?
Keep all your money.
Well, that's one thing. It was going to be money, though. You do know me well. I was gonna pivot to money. no, I thought of like, you know, the minute you're like in a relationship where dual income is happening is so fucking sweet and dope.
Is
that
it?
I think it would be. You don't think that'd be cool?
Depends on the dual part of it, though.
All right. Say they at least make the same as you. Let's just
okay. Yeah,
that
that's great.
Right?
Okay.
So yeah. it's like you just doubled your money, right?
Right.
Like, granted, there's two of you, but you doubled your money. All
right.
And okay. then you're getting some tax benefits and shit, all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, just think, New York City life of one bedroom apartment, nice, split the rent. Fucking beautiful time to be alive.
You
know?
Do you know how much I've thought how great it would be if you and I could share a room?
Yeah. You know? I've thought about it.
We can get
the
sickest one bed.
Yeah. Right?
I've looked at them.
I know. I know. I'm trying to help a buddy find an apartment, and I keep browsing places. I'm like, ah, if I had that dual income, baby, I can do it.
Yeah.
But like, that'd be kind of like, I kind of see it as like when you upgrade your lifestyle in a way. So yeah. It's like, oh, okay, if you always were dual income and then you suddenly are divorced at 65, and depending on if you're working or not, or maybe you were supposed to retire soon, and now that like fucks up all your money plans.
Yeah.
Because now your money is split.
Yeah.
Whereas like rest of my life, it's like, oh, nice. Of like, once I get that dual income, that's for life. Like, yeah. There we go. We're taking it to the top.
That's true.
Yeah.
Vacation buddy forever.
Also that.
That's important. That's also nice. Yep. And the dual income on the vacations too. You can ball out pretty hard. I don't know. It's a lot of time to like, that's just a lot of time.
Funny. Yeah. I feel like you'd get into coaching or something. I probably would.
Or make the husband do something. Yeah. Send him off.
Yeah. I would just start breaking stuff in the apartment. Oh, I'd be like, oh, this is bro. Can you handle this? I don't know what keeps happening.
Oh, I thought you meant to go shopping. I was like, if you don't think that's already my plan. No. Do you know how many times I did that as a kid? Or to like not have to do things?
Yeah.
I was supposed to mow the lawn as a kid and I didn't want to do it anymore. So I pretended I accidentally ran over my mom's garden.
Wow.
And we had to like go get a new tractor and everything. I was like, oh no. Never had like, to do that job again. It. Yeah. So that's a move. Yeah. I feel like I'm gonna be a great wife. I learned a lot of good
interesting
moves
question. Young.
Yeah.
What I like about this question is I feel like it puts life into perspective where it's just like a lot of us get impatient around these things. I feel that way. Or you're just kinda like, just when is it gonna happen? So that's why the scenario I just was relieved of like, oh, it happens. Like I was just like, no, it happens. All right. Give me either of them. Shit. Yeah. You know? Like but it like makes you just be like, oh yeah, I like you'll feel so impatient and then it happens. And then that impatience is just like gone.
Yeah, I guess.
So.
Oh man, but do you think that anxiety ever leaves that like they're just going to leave you? Is that why we have Sunset Lake CBD?
Is that why we're sponsored by anti-anxiety products? Funny, I've never had I don't have that super badly, I guess.
Oh, it keeps me up. My friend Allie, she loves to ask the question, what's your biggest fear? Mm. And I tried to get out of it one day and just like say sharks and move on. And she was like, shut the fuck up. Like, what's your real fear? And she pulled out of me that it was abandonment. Mm. So I have this like awful, awful fear of just being left.
Interesting.
I don't know. It's something that I'm always like, oh, like when you trust somebody, they can still leave you.
Yeah. Anybody can leave at any time.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's my biggest beef of like when I've dated people in the past and they were like all not doing girlfriend, boyfriend title, but we were exclusive. And I remember just saying, just because I'm your girlfriend doesn't mean you can't leave.
Right.
Like I was like, even if I was your wife, you could still one day leave. Like the option to leave is always there.
Yeah. Sometimes you just have to sign paperwork.
Yeah. Right. Like, you know, but I just was like, anyway. So if you have anxiety like us, try Sunset Lake CBD, who sponsors the pod, and use our promo code SGS20 for 20% off. And if you want more than 20% off, you got to join our Patreon, which is patreon.com/shootersgottashoot. Where we debate these types of topics into even more depth, I would say. It gets real personal down there.
Yeah, it does. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we don't.
Yeah.
We haven't cried in a while, so that's good.
I know. Yeah, we have.
It's been a long time.
No.
We're due.
Yeah, we are due. We're due for a cry. So join. When we have 300 members, we'll have a deep crying session if that's what you guys request. Because it's up to you. It's up to the fans. Yeah. It's up to the Patreon gang. But yeah, we also have an option on there if you just want to support the podcast for $3 a month. You don't get the extra episodes, but we'd really appreciate it and show some love for the show. And you can also support us by using our sponsors because they're dope. They support us and you support them. So promo code SGS20 for 20% off. And I highly recommend if anybody is currently getting into Grey's Anatomy for the first time because it is a stressful show.
I'm shocked you're watching that.
I put it off for so long because I knew I would probably really like it.
It's such a good show.
Can I say this?
Yes.
Immediately upon watching it, like the first season, you know what my vibe was? I was like, this is Sex and the City with doctors.
Ooh,
the whole format of the show. Yeah. She narrates stuff. Even how it starts.
Yeah.
Like she starts by being like, you know, guilt is this. It's like she's a writer.
She's just very smart, okay?
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. There's just like medical terms thrown in, so I don't think people see it. But it's just like so funny if like, does he want me back or was he just performing a tracheotomy? Like, like that's It's this like whisper voice, but since there's so much lingo in there, like I'm just not gonna be surprised if one episode they're just like, he fixed his heart, but will he fix mine?
Like, there's some shit like that, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, this is very Sex and the City to me.
Yeah. No. Well, now I gotta rewatch a little for that vibe.
It'll get you.
You're season one still?
I'm on season three.
Oh, burned through that. Oh my god, those are hour long episodes.
They're 40 minutes.
Okay. All right. Okay.
But yeah. Yeah, I have a problem.
We gotta talk off mic.
I have a problem because then they keep making me struggle to fall asleep, and if I don't take the CBD, then I don't go to sleep.
Yeah,
and then I'm like, wow, it's 2 a.m. and I just watched way too much trauma happen in an ER.
Yeah. Oh, it gets a lot worse. Buckle up.
Oh, I'm sure. But anyway, fun show.
Hopefully, you aren't gonna be getting on any planes anytime soon. That one will scar you. All right, there.
No, I'll slow it down.
Yeah, you're going to want to.
All right. Well, anyway, if anyone's watching Grey's, DM me. Okay. All right. So let's get into our chapter here. The Make Your Move Offline Dating Challenge.
Wait, can I say this? Mm-hmm. I like that this is very targeted at women and telling them to make their move. Because most things we read, as listeners know, do not say this. And especially things written by men.
Very true. But yeah, this is why it's been recommended. Everyone's like, you girls need to read this book. It's literally what you've been trying to tell people. all right. So it says this Make Your Move Offline Dating Challenge to consider it a romantic cleanse. It's sort of like a juice cleanse, except this one improves your love life instead of your immune system. Follow my advice for 3 months. Use the blueprint below and you can thank me later.
Does 3 months feel like a long time? I don't know that I've done anything in dating for 3 months, like even actually including having a boyfriend, like the title.
Really? I thought it was 3.
Not the title.
Oh, okay. Well, you okay. Know, all right.
But from season, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Mm, then technically me never. Me, yeah. Oh no, high school. Yeah. High school. I had 3 months there. Yeah. That was pretty good. All right. So step one, we mentioned this before. It says delete every dating app from your smartphone. Or, you know, log out of it online, whatever you use, turn off all notifications, emails, etc. So step two, make a list of all the single men in your life whom you've ever wondered about. Go through your immediate friend group, past and present coworkers, friends you kept in touch with from college, the charming real estate agent who helped you find your last apartment, the cute guy you banter with at the deli, the trainer at the gym, the nice guy in apartment 5E who's always walking his dog. If you ever wondered about dating him, he needs to be on your list.
I feel like my list would be really short.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't tried to make mine yet, but it's like, okay, top of my head, it's like there's one person, but they have a girlfriend now.
So I have no list.
I'm like, oh yeah, that one person I knew that caught my eye and didn't make a move too quickly.
Whoops. Yeah.
All right. So step three, now build your list by asking friends and family for help. I understand that this will not be easy. It's embarrassing to ask friends for setups. It's hard for them too. Nobody wants to offend a close friend by setting them up for a man who may not be up to her standards. I have 2 solutions to this problem. The first one is easy. Just blame me. Hey, I'm reading this crazy dating book that this guy wants me to do an online dating cleanse. And then et cetera, et cetera. And just ask them, do you know any single guys you could set me up with? I know it sounds silly, but can you help?
Wait, I think he makes a really interesting point here, though, of no one wants to offend their friend by not being up to their standards. So what do you do if your friend sets you up with someone or like proposes that you go out with someone and you're like, this is what you think I can pull?
So do you mean physically? Because this is the number one complaint of any setup ever.
Yes.
Yeah, it's insulting. I've had people try, and you're just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're like, all right.
Do you go?
I've never had someone try hard, because now with social media, it's a very just like, oh, there's this person, look them up
situation. Yeah, look them up and let me know.
Like, it's kind of the thing of like, I know this person, they're really great, da-da-da, here's their stuff. So it's almost like, I'm not even going to try to sell you one way or the other on appearance, whether they are really hot or they're not. Because I had a friend recently hit me up about a guy. He lives in LA, of course, unfortunately. But it was like friend of a friend, and she knew, and she was just like, oh, but she just sent me his Instagram. And I went and I was like, this guy's very attractive.
Yeah.
Like, but she wasn't sitting there like having to sell it. Just was like, here's the Instagram. Here's the background. Let me know if you want to get set up.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right. I mean, I feel like family does that more.
Yeah, that can't, yeah.
Because the concerns of family are more, way more who the person is.
Right.
Than appearance. Especially if, you know, they're older family members.
Yeah.
And people that have been married for years. So they're just like, look at my husband. He didn't look at that when I married him. Right. It doesn't matter. You know, yeah. Like, they're like, I'm living proof of like what it takes to make a long term relationship work. Yeah. So it's like looks are kind of their last thought.
Right.
Except for men.
Yeah. Men. Yeah. So it's older women. Men are always thinking about looks. Looks of women.
Mm-hmm. Yes. 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 Yes.
Of men. Not really.
Yeah. I've overheard my mom saying to a guy of like, oh, I know this great girl, da da, and the guy's like, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, like, my uncle popped in and he just goes, she's hot. And then like walked off, and the guy was like, oh yeah, I'll meet her. But it's just but it's that fear of like, okay, what she look like. And it's yeah. Like, yeah, a lot of times people don't lead with like, first of all, they're a smoke show. Like,
right.
Especially like a woman talking about another woman, you're like,
yeah,
she's a great person.
Like, right.
Okay. But it's funny that the point he makes too is some friends might feel awkward or not set you up because they don't know any people that are in your league.
Mm.
In a good way of they're like, you're yeah. a real catch and I don't know anybody good enough for you.
Yeah. Because I think about that of like, my parents always ask me all the time of like, how are you and all your friends single? Basically. And
yeah, right.
Like, you can't like set each other up and kind of stuff. I'm like, well, if I knew someone that good, I would be dating them.
And, right. But I think that's how most people feel.
Right. And also like when my friends do start seeing people, we're the first ones to be judging them, mm. you know, of like who they have to bring them around. And we basically like not decide, but we give our opinion for mm-hmm. sure. That's like, yeah, that's really hard. Cause I don't know anyone who I'm like, is good enough to date you or good enough to date like Katie or Bella. Like, are there good single friends?
Yeah.
We're like, I have no idea.
Yeah. No, I struggle. Yeah. I mean, I have so many friends where I'm like, yeah, they're wonderful. And I don't know how they haven't found anyone yet.
Right.
They're Megan Hanley, friend of the pod.
Yeah.
We're always like, Megan Hanley's so fucking great. Beautiful, in shape, funny, mm-hmm. smart. Like, I'm like, how come you don't got anybody?
Yeah.
What's going on?
that's what scares me.
Yeah. Right. Like, it's, yeah.
I'm having... not better than Megan Hanley.
Right. That's when I get nervous. I'm just yeah. like, wow, I think this girl's better than me. And I'm like, you're struggling over there?
Yeah. Damn. If I ever start dating someone, they can never meet Megan Hanley.
Yeah. Yeah. They can't meet. Or Bella or Katie. No,
yeah. But, I will become a hermit.
Right. So, but this is also the interesting thought. This is kind of similar to Matchmaker Maria's method of how she met her husband. Okay. She was like, look at whose boyfriends you really like.
Yeah.
And you like their qualities because the people they're friends with are probably similar to them.
I like that.
So this says, it says visit the Facebook pages. So we'll change it to Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the Instagram pages of the husbands of your married friends or boyfriends, I'll even say, and scroll through their friend list or who they follow. And then it says specifically the husbands you admire. She figures that if her friend's husband is kind and smart and funny, there is a pretty good chance that the husband's single friends might be all of those things too.
Well, it's also a little bit of theory of like the company you keep.
Yes, of very much.
If, you know, people, good people usually hang out with good people. Pieces yeah. of shit usually hang out with pieces of shit.
Yeah, that was, that was a piece of dating advice I wish I knew a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had a guy tell me that. They were like, look at his friends. He is going to be a lot like his friends, even if he's not like it in front of you.
Yeah.
Or not like it in front of them when you're there. Because they were like, you never know how they're going to act when you're not there.
Yeah.
And it's like, they wouldn't hang out with those people that are like kind of delinquents in a way if they weren't also like that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys that can hide it.
Yeah.
A lot of guys can hide it.
Oh.
Or you think my guy's different. He's not.
He's not. And especially when they point out the things about their friends.
Uh-huh.
That then you find out that they do.
Yep.
Like, that's real fun.
That's the real peek behind the curtain.
It's like, you showed me.
Yeah. Yeah. The only time I'd say it maybe doesn't apply is like if they're on a sports team. Because it's like,
right,
you aren't technically really close friends with everyone on the team automatically. It's
right.
Like there'll be pockets that hang together.
Yeah.
So that's the only time I've seen where it's like, no, these three are like really good guys. The rest of these guys, not so much.
Yeah, animals. Yeah. But if it's like an after work league, it's like, okay, you're picking those teams.
Oh, right.
You know,
right.
Like
yeah.
today,
That's, you know, different.
Right.
That's not a real sports team.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, today, I mean, no one listening this is dating the Yankees, you know?
Yeah. I assume the Yankees are all friends. Yeah, it says, after identifying the prospects who seem the most interesting, the final step is to talk to your friends about their husband's friends. If the reviews you get back are positive, then ask for a setup. This way, they don't have to think as much because you've already done the legwork for them.
Interesting. Mm. Do you think, like, let's use Matchmaker Maria as an example. So she went to a different city to meet one of the friends. Do you think you would do that? Or, like, do you think that's something that people should be doing? Or, like, I don't know, keep it in your area? Like, how do you discern which friends to ask about, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like that's where it gets tricky.
Well, I think it partly depends on distance.
Yeah.
So hers was New York to Boston, which is not that bad. And second, I believe when she said it was like the first setup that she got. Where she specifically gave someone a task and said, hey, when you hang out with all your friends one night where women are also there, please invite me to come.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, they held up their end of the bargain, so I couldn't not go.
Okay.
So it's like she didn't specifically point someone out. I feel like if you're specifically pointing someone out, look, you could weed out long distance for sure.
Yeah.
But it's like, I understand from her perspective being like, well, I asked him to do it. I asked the husband and he did come through.
Yeah. And you don't think you're going to, you know, get a home run on the first try.
Right.
So yeah, I get why she went.
Mm-hmm. But it's like, my friend who lives in LA, who forwarded me this great guy, she's my best friend from childhood.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm like, well, I would trust her opinion on this person, and she really knows me, and she already like showed him me and stuff. So she was like, he's interested. I'm like, well, why not? And that's a town I do go to. So I'm like, I'll meet him.
Yeah.
Why not? What do I got to lose?
You know?
But it's just like, ideally, I would like someone in my own city. Of course.
Yeah, I think that's where it gets really tough.
Yeah, but think realistically, like, we're from Binghamton area. My brother's there. He dates in that area. But he's, like, dated people that lived in, like, Ithaca or Syracuse. And that's a 45-minute or an hour drive. But it's just, like, there's less options around here.
Yeah.
So he's like, look, an hour drive? Who cares?
Yeah, it's not bad.
Not crazy. No. You know? So, I think a lot of people gotta have a little bit of wiggle room. Especially if it's just to meet someone.
Yeah. Maybe I should stop being like, don't go to Brooklyn.
Okay, so it says, take the friends and family list, add it to your original list. Men on your offline list are real people, men whom you probably can trust to act like decent human beings on a first date. Your online matches, who knows?
God, online matches, I feel like it's almost like a 30% chance it actually happens, a date.
Yeah.
That you're talking to. Like, I just don't even expect to actually meet any of the people I match with.
Yeah, but it's Jared Fried has that theory. It's like, it just makes them accountable.
Right. I think also, like, I've gone out on setups before, and it does take a little bit of the nervousness out because there's, like, the sense of familiarity and just you have something to relate back to in a conversation.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, a first date, it can be, like, a first date from an app can just feel very, like, surface level. Like, what's your job? Where are you from? And it's just, I don't know. It just feels a little bit more like a Q&A than a conversation.
Yeah. Or it's I mean, I just had this. Join the Patreon if you want to hear about my most recent kind of setup date. We kind of made fun of the mutual person we know.
Yeah, that's always fun.
And it's not that we don't like that person. We love that person. But it just was an easy... Man, that was an easy icebreaker.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, it gives you something in common. Gives you something to talk about. And then it just says, the guy you know from church isn't going to ghost you. I'm like, that's still not guaranteed, though.
No.
I've had plenty of real life ghosts.
Yeah.
But then it makes the point of like, someone else you kind of know isn't going to send you a text calling you a bitch. And it's like, well, because if you know them from some circle, you might run into them again. So people behave better.
Yeah. Mm. Or you might tell someone that you mutually know and then it just becomes a thing.
Right. Yeah. You don't want the feedback from your setup date to be like, don't ever set that person up with anyone again. Because that happens in Matchmakers Maria's world.
Yeah.
She'll like get rid of clients where she'll be like, I don't care. I don't care how much money you pay me. I'm not setting you up with anybody.
Yeah.
Like, damn.
I also feel like this might not necessarily be true, but to a degree, I do feel like when someone is setting you up with someone, or like you're having a conversation with a friend about a mutual person that you know that you're going to go out with, mm-hmm. there is almost that extra layer of confidence that you most likely are looking for the same thing. Because like if you're going out with someone who I know, and I know that that person just fucks around all the time and is like seeing a bunch of people, I might be like, how about you don't, you know? Or you would hope that your friend would like at least let you know that, you know what, this might not be someone looking for long term.
Yeah. Oh, I've done that with friends because of just the comedian pool I have access to. It's majority is men. Majority of them are single. But it's like, yeah, the majority of them just kind of fuck around.
And they're all emotionally damaged.
Yeah, there's also that. Yeah. But it's just like, yeah, of that pool, there's only a handful of guys I'd be like, okay, these guys I'd be like, yeah, date. Like, I would date them.
Right.
Situation. But it's like, yeah, the rest of them, I'd be like, if one asked me out, I'd be like, yeah, he's a fun time.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
You've given me that review before.
Yeah.
And you're usually correct.
I am correct. Yeah. Word gets around. Yeah. Reputations matter. That's all I'm going to say. And you can find more about that on the Patreon. So
it's like Amazon reviews for men over there.
Yeah, seriously. Well, there used to be an app that existed.
Yeah.
What was it called? Like
Stutter Dud?
Oh, there was another one. I think it was called like Lulu.
Oh, I never used that.
And it's like, yeah, you just, but that one you strictly rated their like sexual hookup skills.
Oh.
Yeah, wild.
Right? That's amazing.
But it had details. It had like cuddly, not a cuddler. We should bring it back.
No, we should. I don't know. I'm not above it.
All right. So then the last step of the list is to rank the list, starting with the men who you would most like to date. And it says, up until now, dating has always involved men choosing you, and then you evaluating whether those men who ask you out are worthy of your time. Doing the choosing will be something different. Guys have a lot of experience with this, so let me offer you some advice before you start ranking your list. A guy will often ask out the woman he thinks is most likely to say yes, ahead of the one he really likes best. He does this because it's easier on his ego. He does this because he, like you, fears rejection. Then years later, maybe he discovers the woman of his dreams, the one he always was afraid to ask out, liked him too. So my advice, don't do what guys do. You've come too far to settle now. Please, please, please do not rank your third choice ahead of your first choice just because you think your third choice guy is more likely to say yes if you ask him out on a date. If the guy who gives you the happiest, happy feeling is someone from work, but you're worried he's just nice to everyone, and boy, would it be awkward if that were true, he should still be number one on your list. You're not shopping for a used car here. You're searching for a life partner. I don't want you to wake up 10 years from now and wonder about what might have been.
That's a terrifying thought.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you have a problem ranking people and going for the one you want, though?
Problem in terms of like just going after who I think is most into me, or?
No, of like his scenario of like, all right, say there's like three guys, you're like, oh, they're all attractive, nice guys.
Yeah.
But there's one you like the most.
Yeah.
Would that be the one that you're like DMing first, or like trying to make it happen first?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here.
Yeah.
Like, who are these people picking their third choice?
I think that's like a confidence thing, though.
Maybe. I'm just I don't go out for ice cream and be like, oh, cookies and cream is my favorite flavor, but, you know, I should pick my third choice.
Right.
I'm like, I'm getting cookies. I'm going to try to get cookies and cream. They're out of cookies and cream. All right. I'll go to my second choice.
Right. You know? Yeah. And I also just feel like when I am interested in someone, I also don't have the attention for really other people. Mm. Then I'm like, then why would I go to choice number three?
Right.
Because I knew that, I don't know, it just feels too easy. Yeah. And I would be thinking about choice number one. Like, I know my brain that I would be on a date with them and be like, so actually, probably we'll talk about this on the Patreon.
Okay.
This happened to me that I hooked up with somebody, but I was like the whole time like thinking about someone else.
Ooh.
That because I like knew this was just like a one night stand. I was just this is weird. This is very weird.
Creeps up on you.
It does. Mm. Yeah. And so I just know that I mentally could not put up a wall.
I think more what happens for women is like, because we don't have this list, right, of interests.
Yeah.
We've all been there where there's just like a guy giving you attention and you're just like, oh, this guy's into me. Yeah. And so you go out with them and you're like, let me try this. And like, well, let me see if he grows on me. Cause I'm not in, like, I feel like that's more what happens.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't even think about like first choice or not. Cause we're just used to being like, oh, you know, men are supposed to pursue you. Yeah, yeah. You've been chosen. You should be so grateful. You should give this guy a shot. You know, blah, 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 blah. Like, whatever, you know.
Say thank you.
Yeah. That phrase, you don't want to be the one that loves more. Like,
fuck off.
Yeah. And I'm just like, if you think it with in relationships in terms of that, it's like, just, you should be single. Like, that's just crazy.
You should be divorced at 65.
Yeah. Yeah, you're scenario one. You're scenario A.
You die alone.
Yeah. No pension package for you, lady. Whatever. Okay. All right. The final step, it says, and I love this, ask your first choice guy out on a date. And maybe your second choice too, assuming they don't know each other. So it's like throw a couple shots out there.
But I do think it's interesting that he says maybe your second choice too, because a lot of the advice out there is like, go on a bunch of dates, try, you know, it's about the numbers, all that shit. And he's like, no, actually, like, take 3 solid months, really focus on what you want, 1 or 2.
Yeah.
And then go from there.
Right.
That I do kind of, I like that approach better. I'm with you, John.
I agree. I mean, I just like that he's literally like, okay, and then ask him out. Not like, okay, keep looking nice and just showing up where he is. Like,
write his name on a piece of paper and put it under your pillow. Yeah. Manifest it.
Yeah, sleep with his name under your pillow.
Just wear a Band-Aid and maybe he'll ask you what happened.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Real advice, people.
That is a move. Just every day, ask him to take a picture of you.
Like, carry a hat box.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. Every day at work, pretend to be lost. Excuse me, do you know where my desk is, John? I keep forgetting. I should repay you. All right, so it says, how you do the asking is important. Do not ask him in a wishy-washy, roundabout way. Do not ask your coworker if he wants to grab lunch sometime. He may just think you are being nice. Mm-hmm. 2, be specific. Don't be afraid to use the word date. Depending on how well you know the guy, you could even try out this line. Hey, are you ever going to ask for my number?
I like that. I like a bold move.
Right? Your instinct will be to create some wiggle room, some deniability in case he says no. But saving face should not be your primary concern. There should be zero uncertainty in his mind that you are asking him out on a real date. Again, you've come too far to have things go awry simply because you were not clear and he was not as oblivious as all those guys on Ask Reddit. Shots fired at Reddit. Oh my God.
I also think, like, how frustrating is it as a woman when we're sitting there, we're like, I don't know if he's in me. He's like, I don't know. He said he wanted to like get lunch, but it's, you know, a date. Does that count? Like, how many times have we all done this of just asking if it was really a date? Not asking the guy, of course, asking your girlfriends, trying to assess the situation. That's like, be direct. People, it feels good and is attractive when people are direct and ask you what they want.
Yeah, I can't stand that. When a guy asks me a vague thing and I quickly, you just have enough of those things where you're like, I'm going to this and I don't know if it's a date.
Yeah.
Moments that I finally would just be like, yeah, my go-to line is as a date or as friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes them choose.
It does.
And even if they don't fully choose, then I'll just be like, yeah, I mean, that's just two different outfits.
And you're going to want it to be a date.
Right. Because I hate, the worst is when you put in the effort, show up nice, and it's not a date.
Yeah.
And then you just feel embarrassed.
Yeah.
So the next thing it says is be direct. Would you like to go out with me on Friday night? Ask the question and wait for the answer. Let him fill the silence.
Can I add into that? If you ask the guy, though, you should have a place in mind. Because if he's like, yeah, and then you'd be like, yes. Okay, how about XYZ? Like, don't ask him to make a plan for you if you're starting it. If he suggests a place, fine. But definitely have a place in mind.
Here's a follow-up to that.
Yes.
Should you say a place in your neighborhood?
Does that seem the most... I think get away from work.
Yeah, I would say if it's a work relationship, not near the office.
But I would say maybe something in between. Because I messed that up recently. I picked a place in my neighborhood, our neighborhood. But I thought the guy lived in my neighborhood. Oh. And then I found out later he didn't. But I'm like, oh, shit, I should have asked.
Well, because it's like a guy asking a woman out of the quote, gentlemanly thing to do is to go to the ladies' neighborhood. like make it convenient for the woman, but it's like, but if we flip to I'm asking this other person out, I wouldn't say that means I pick a place in his neighborhood.
No.
And I don't think it would be bad for you to just pick somewhere near you and being like, oh, there's this great place, you know, in my neighborhood if you'd want to come to da-da-da.
Yeah, as long as it's not like super, super far, I think that's fine.
No. Yeah. All right. So if he responds, you mean like a date? Your response should be simple and honest. Yes, a date. Or yes, I hope that's okay. If he asks why him, again, keep it simple but truthful. Because I like you. Ooh.
That's real bold.
Ooh. Or I've always liked you, but if you don't feel the same way, that's totally okay. We can still be friends. Ooh, I might disagree a little on this.
Yeah. Hit me with it.
Straight up saying you like them before you even go on a date, I don't think it's good. Because how do you really know? You've never been on a date with them.
Right.
And I think that's like way too much giving upper hand. As much as I'm not for playing games, it's just like, I feel like that's a lot. I feel like that's coming on strong. A lot of men do not get asked out by women.
Yeah.
So if you're going to make a bold move of asking someone out, I think just be direct.
And I think guys don't like when a woman is like too into them. You know, how many times do they just like get freaked out? Yeah. Oh, like she was too into me. I like the suggestion of being direct, but I do agree with you now that you're saying that. Of like, I think just being like, yeah, like I'm interested in getting to know you like that. You know?
Right.
I do kind of, something to the effect of like, I feel like this could work.
Yeah. Or I'd like to get to know you outside of blank.
Yeah.
So outside of work or, you know, or even like, if it was someone I met at a party and I like asked out, I would just kind of be like, well, I'd like to get to know you more.
Yeah.
I think that's a very basic, simple answer.
Yeah.
I would be more inclined to just be like, I don't know, I thought you were cute. Like,
yeah.
Cause that's just like indifferent of like, oh, you caught my eye. I don't know. Like
men love those compliments too.
I know. I would still try to stray away from that, but I would rather say that than being like, I like you.
Yeah. It feels very like third grade. I agree. Tone it down.
But I think offering like an out, because it's like, if you ask a guy out and he's just asking all these questions, I feel like the guy just doesn't want to go out with me.
Definitely not.
Where I would just be like, I think at that point, if he said why, I would just go, hey man, if you don't want to go, you don't got to go.
Yeah, if a guy ever said why to me asking him out, I'd be like, you know what? Wrong person.
Yeah.
You know? Like, my bad.
Like, I feel like I've said this with simpler questions. I've just looked at people and been like, you know you can say no, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, it's okay to say no.
Yeah.
And then they're like, is it?
Why just feels like so degrading, like daggers to the heart. I'd rather a hard no.
Mm.
Just a no than a why.
Who wants a why? That's weird.
Yeah, now I have to explain myself.
Yeah, especially like if someone asks me why. Out. If someone asks you out, would you ever go, why?
No.
Like, you know?
I know I'm a catch. I know why.
Yeah, right? And then, well, the third income, the third possible income it tells us is he says no.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. And it says, believe it or not, this is not a terrible outcome. It may feel terrible in the moment, but if he says no, the good news is you'll never again have to wonder if he was the one.
I like a good no and getting to move on.
Right?
I got things to do.
Yeah.
Like, let me move on. Don't give me any of this, like, in-between bullshit.
Oh, yeah. Especially if it's a guy I've felt this, like, vibe from. I'm asking because I want to, like, find out what this is.
Right.
Like, I want my answer.
Yes.
Are you trying to date me? No? All right. See you at the deli.
Right.
Like, wherever I see you, and if we have a little flirt, fine. But, like... it's not going to take up space in my brain.
Exactly.
The reason I want you to make it abundantly clear that you genuinely like him and are asking him out on a proper date is that the middle ground is too susceptible to misinterpretation. The more honest you are about your true feelings, the less likely it is that he'll try to take advantage of you. This probably sounds counterintuitive, but from a guy's perspective, a woman who coolly says, hey, do you want to grab a drink with me after work on Friday, is more likely to be looking for a hookup than the one who nervously asks, hey, so I know I'm going out on a limb here, but I've always liked you and I feel really comfortable around you. And I was wondering if you would like to go out on a date with me on Friday night. His response to the former is more likely to be opportunistic, whereas his response to the latter is more likely to be sympathetic. See, that's what I don't like about the second one. I would feel like, oh, you're just going out for me because you're like, oh, she's so nervous.
Yeah.
Like...
I get what he's trying to say, but I agree with you. The I've always really liked you. It just feels like a lot to say in the beginning.
Yeah.
That if you're just like, hey, like, I've had a great time, XYZ, I'm interested in you. Like, I'd love to get a drink sometime. Or, like, I don't know, I guess use the D word and, like, go on a date. I feel like that.
Yeah, I feel like if you say like it's a date in there somewhere,
yeah,
that makes it like I'm not trying to hook up with you. Or option B, go get a drink with him Friday and don't fuck him. like that's so easy. Like,
yeah,
every guy goes on a date thinking I'm coming here because there is a chance I will get laid.
Yeah,
whether it's tonight or in the future. That's right. What motivates men to go on dates,
to do anything.
So like, yeah, the easiest way of being like, oh, I'm not just trying to hook up with you is you don't hook up with them.
Yeah,
problem solved.
Exactly. Also, the place you pick should send a vibe too.
Yes, very,
you know,
true.
Like if you're at a dive bar,
mm,
and it's clear that you're just like getting hammered,
yeah
you're probably gonna fuck, or he's gonna think you're probably gonna fuck. But if you're just, you know, at a nice place and have like one or two drinks,
yep,
very,
yeah,
different vibe.
You don't get drunk, you don't do shots, you don't, like, there's so, yeah, many things that are just, yeah, like, yeah, you easily can give off that vibe.
Yeah.
You want to know something interesting?
Yeah.
A friend of the pod we met at Acme, Lindsay Metzelar,
mm-hmm,
her current fiance originally went out with her thinking she was a girl, like, it would just be a hookup thing.
Really?
Yep.
He knew nothing about her then.
He didn't know her that well, no.
Oh, okay.
But he was like, oh, she's hot. And she kind of asked him out.
Yeah, that's
not
true.
Not kind of. She did.
She did.
She made the first, yeah, move. So I think he kind of was like, oh, this girl wants to bang. And then went out with her and was like, oh, that's not what she is and what she looks for.
Wow.
So it's just
very
like, yeah. Just don't fuck them. Yeah. It's not that hard.
Just don't do it.
It's not hard. Okay, there is a term for this though. So psychologists call this the beautiful mess effect. It turns out there's a sizable gap between how we interpret vulnerability in others and how we perceive vulnerability in ourselves. Vulnerability is courage in you and inadequacy in me. Ooh. No display of vulnerability evokes a higher level of admiration and affection than a confession of a love. According to a study by a trio of psychologists, falling in love, we are often afraid to speak openly about our feelings. Yet, if we stay silent, the thoughts about what could have been can haunt us for a long time, whereas talking openly about our emotions might become the foundation of a good relationship.
I feel like that is the foundation of a good relationship, right? You just got to find the one where it works.
Exactly, yeah. Or I think this is just touching on, like, there's, like, not even vulnerability. I see it as, like, emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
And I think emotional intelligence is someone who is aware of their emotions and also comfortably expresses them.
Yeah.
Because that's, it's like, yeah, so there's going to be moments that are, quote, more vulnerable, but like a lot of times expressing your emotions isn't being vulnerable.
Well, so
in this example, it is.
Yeah. And it's saying in the beautiful mess effect, yeah, or whatever. So it's saying that, like, the person who is being vulnerable, they feel extremely uncomfortable, mm-hmm, right? But like to the person who's watching their vulnerability, they actually see it as like a really admirable trait. So,
yeah,
if the person is also interested in you, like, it basically is like bonus points.
Yes. Yes.
So it's worth it when it pays off to be vulnerable, because the person who you show your vulnerability to and that level of emotional intelligence will be like super receptive to it.
Oh, for sure.
That's like, okay, but how many times do you have to lose?
Yeah, exactly. I agree with this and opening up and saying you like someone when you do like them.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, I don't think you know that you like them yet.
And I don't think you have to, before a first date,
exactly,
have to, like, make a case as to,
no,
why.
No, no,
it's,
no,
like,
no,
hey, I'm interested in you. I'd love to grab a drink sometime. Let me know if you would too. Or, like,
yeah,
like he said, be specific. Like, I'd love to grab a drink on Friday if you're free.
Right.
Then, well, just go on the date.
Yeah. And I feel like I've gotten better at this just from having to tell people I have herpes.
Yeah.
Because when I'm telling you I have herpes is me vulnerably basically being like, I would like to, like, move this forward and have sex with you at some point.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So it's me vulnerably basically being like, yeah, I do want to have sex with you, but I have to tell you this thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't bring that up if, like, I'm not at that point, because why? It doesn't matter. You,
yeah,
know?
Exactly.
But
it's going to send mixed signals.
Right. But I feel the same way of, like, when I like someone. And,
yeah,
I did do that in my last relationship. I remember finally being like, yeah, I'm into you. So, like, if you're dating other people and stuff like that would bother me.
Yeah.
And it's a vulnerable thing to say, but it's like, yeah, but it's the truth. Like, what's the other option? Just to sit there
and wonder?
And wonder and,
yeah,
be nervous all the time and, like, feel on edge?
Yeah, that's not good. I've been there. That sucks.
Like, it's a, I mean, I think most people, it's like, yeah, the beginning of dating someone, there's a lot of like anxiety parts to it that are kind of moving because you don't know.
Sure are.
Yeah. But then a lot of people, like, once you know, like, oh, they like me, I like them, we're not dating other people, or I'm their boyfriend, I'm their girlfriend, whatever stage it is, that like you kind of just finally hit the like comfortability part.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, like, that's where they thrive. Because you're like, oh, I'm no longer worried about like, oh, are, is it us together? It's like, oh, we're together now, like, we can really, I guess, I don't know, be a team and like do things. I, you know, I don't know. I haven't hit that point. Yeah. When I hit that point, I'll let you know what happens. Yeah. But it sounds really nice.
I hit that point and Space Jam didn't want to go outside anymore. So, you know, I haven't had a really blissful period of it. Right? Jesus.
Yeah. But, you know. But I like this.
I do like this book a lot. I like John.
You know what I'll say about his advice for asking out?
What?
I think also goes for breaking up.
Okay, explain.
I think a lot of women, a lot of people are not direct and basically being like, I'm not feeling this anymore. Like, whether it be someone you are actually together with or someone you've gone on a few dates with and you don't want to go out with again, there's always those people that go, I just feel bad hurting someone. And I'm like, you got to say it. You got it.
I think you're 1,000% correct, but I'm laughing so hard at my breakup conversation. It was straight up, I don't think this is going anywhere.
I'm sorry.
Over Zoom.
My bad.
So he
was direct.
He was very direct.
He was also direct in asking you out and making you his girlfriend.
That's true.
So
that's true. No wishy-washy with that guy.
Hard-banded.
Maybe you two have been chatting, I don't know.
Yeah. But can I say this?
Yeah.
Your breakup was direct. Mine was not.
Right.
I think you got over your relationship much faster than I did with mine.
Yeah, because it was just like cold turkey. We do not speak anymore.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they weren't trying to do the, oh, I want to make sure I'm nice and check in and like keep a whatever. It's like, no, 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 go. Just yeah. go. Just yeah. get out of here.
Stay. Just, stay yeah. away.
Stay where you are.
Be gone. Yeah. Get. It's like when they got rid of Air Bud.
Yeah. Like, I'm not saying, you know, I was still would have been sad if I got broken up with the way you did. But,
Oh, yeah, I definitely got over it really fast.
It's never fun, but it's like, it's literally ripping off the Band-Aid.
Yeah.
It's a faster pain.
I forgot about him as, like, a human being for a while in my life.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I think
he's still inside.
Yeah. No, I think he has a new girlfriend.
Well, they're inside.
Yeah, for this quarter. I'll have someone new next quarter.
Oh, well. Anyway.
Good times.
I think we will revisit this book. It's got a lot of interesting chapters. But I think I'm gonna try to make a list.
Okay.
I'm going to keep... It's like we have a notes app on our phone for one thing, and then we're going to have a notes app for this other list of men.
Is your notes app for guys you sleep with?
Isn't, I thought that's what everybody does.
Yeah. I was just making sure.
Yeah.
Do not number it.
That's what I was implying. Yeah. That's what I was implying. Yeah. Just, you know, make sure, just cross-reference those in case you forgot anybody.
Oh, hey, that's a good call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You actually...
Men from your past.
I was like, actually, look at those past lists and be like, how did I meet that guy? Yeah. And maybe it'll spark ideas for the other guys.
Oh, I was drunk. Okay.
But where was I drunk? And who was I drunk with? There might be a man you forgot. That's the point. Okay. Anyway, thank you all for listening. You want to get involved, give us a suggestion for the pod, message us, either DM us at shootersgottashootpod or shootersgottashootpod@gmail.com. And follow the podcast. Follow us. I'm at Sparica with two A's.
And I'm at @theguaca_Molly.
And we'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
Bye.